Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the High Potion Podcast. It's your boy Steve Crothy.
And I'm Halls.
Hey man, did you realize something about this episode?
It's our 150th episode.
Oh, holy shit. 150?
150. 150 episodes without missing a Monday, my dude. And
pretty good.
Six more weeks. That's a 3-year streak.
Nice. Pretty impressive considering
moved.
You know, you moved a long way away.
Yeah, you moved. I moved. Bro, I moved into a new house and was recording this podcast hours later. You know what I mean? Like, We got that high potion dedication, all right? We might get a little stony baloney, but we're going to knock out a podcast.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, man. So we've got 150 of these bad bitches under our belt, which is neat. You know, a few weeks back we were talking on stream and I was like, hey, we should think of something to do for our 150th episode stream. And then I don't know about you, but I completely forgot about that idea.
Yeah, it's all right. 200's the...
Yeah, we'll get them on 200. We'll see you guys on a live stream for 200 next year.
We're both cosplay as like Persona characters or something.
Can I be Anne?
You can be whoever you want.
Just the first one that popped into my head that would be the funniest.
Blonde wig.
Yeah. Latex. Latex firmly gripping my fat tits. So today, you know, we've kind of had some focused topics the last few weeks. This week we're going to do a little something different. There's some things we wanted to catch up on, bigger video game news. I know we don't really... not necessarily a news podcast when it comes to video games, but there's been some big stuff that is within both our realms of interest. So I figure we'll hit some of that. There's, you know, Star Wars Outlaws, Slay the Spire 2. I've been fucking around with my PlayStation Portal. I got some things to say about that. More Final Fantasy stuff related to the 7 Remake series. There's some cool shit. So... buddy, I like to do this sometimes with Will, right? So this is going to be how we're going to knock this out in the beginning. We're going to hear from Florian, okay? By the way, we're about to listen to his 13th voicemail with HK47.
Nice. Lucky number 13.
After that, I want you to be thinking the topics as follows. Star Wars Outlaws, huh? Slay the Spire 2. Yay. And PlayStation Portal. All right. What were some of the other ones? I don't know. We'll hit up other little ones too. You got to let me know what you want to talk about first after we do the Florian email.
Sounds good.
Voicemail. All right. Let's hear from Florian. We only have two more of these questions after this one.
Greetings, meatbags. Query, if you could combine elements from different games to create your dream game.
Wrong one.
That was a fun one.
Greetings, meatbags. Query, if you had to marry a video game character, who would it be and where would the honeymoon take place? Curiosity, I'm eager to know which digital masterpiece you hold in such high regard.
Tifa.
Tifa on the beach at Costa del Sol. Is that your answer?
I mean, you know, honestly, I mean, listen, this is a complete fantasy, right? So I can say anything. I'm just say Tifa, and we're just going all over Gaia. That's the name of the world in Final Fantasy.
Gaia.
So, you know what I mean? Okay. We'll go to Midgar. We'll go to Calm, Gungaga. And then after that, just back to the house. Just back to the house.
Nice.
I mean, literally, I have nothing else to say about this this question. Like, I know my answer, and I'm proud and confident in that answer.
Yeah, I'm not really sure. My wife loves these kind of questions, though, I'm sure. So
while you're thinking, I got a funny story for you.
Okay.
So the other day, I was talking to Hannah, and I was telling her about that very polite email I got back from a Japanese email eBay seller. And she's like, "What did you order?" And I go, "Oh, it's just a figure of Tifa from Final Fantasy. And she goes, "Is that a big titty anime statue?" And I said, "Well, listen, hold up, listen. It's a Tifa statue, and she just also happens to be an anime lady who may or may not have big titties, all right? They're not mutually exclusive, right? That wasn't the reason I got it, at least not the whole reason, just most. Yeah, Tifa would be there's other ones, too, Marin from Jedi Fallen Order. And it would just be anywhere, man. Maybe we go to the casino at Canto Bight, ride around on some weird alien mounts. I don't know. She would be roasting me the whole time. And people would be pulling Tifa aside and being like, "Are you sure about that? Are you sure about that?
What's going on here?"
Yeah. Another thing, the honeymoon with Tifa, as far away from Cloud as possible, because I can't compete with that. All right.
He shows up shirtless at Costa del Sol.
God damn it. Meanwhile, I've got a third degree sunburn on my fat tits, sand in my butt crack.
Wearing a big old floppy hat.
Big old floppy hat. Wearing a shirt out in the ocean while I'm swimming. You know what I mean? Pale as fuck.
Oh, man. I don't really know. In terms of, like, wedding bells for a character, I don't know, man. I'm going to say Princess Peach, because, you know, getting access to the Mushroom Kingdom seems like it would be pretty fun.
All right. Now introducing Steve Crothy and Peach Crothy. Whatever, you know, fucking wedding music is.
Some kind of weird Mario theme.
Yeah. Meanwhile, fucking Mario is just in the back row shooting you daggers.
Yep.
Saying, "It's a me, a Mario.
It should have been me, a Mario."
You go out into the parking lot, and Mario and Waluigi are just shadily standing next to your car. Oh, shit. They put aside their differences to jump Steve. I'm telling you right now, Steve, if this was a real scenario, you know I'm taking Waluigi and Mario to the concrete, baby. Like, you want to fuck with Steve, Mario? Get the fuck out of here with your fire flower. I'm putting him in a headlock. You know what I mean? Pulling the mustache hairs out of his face.
I like Waluigi that you said get jumped, too, because, like, you think about, you wouldn't want to get jumped by, like, somebody from Mario, because just the term jumped, you know, those guys jump for a fucking living.
Yeah, but guess what, Mario? You're not in the Mushroom Kingdom. You're in fucking the real world, buddy. And you know what? I keep that motherfucking thing on me. So you best not try to fuck with Steve. Oh, buddy, I have a funny story to tell you. I'm glad I thought of this. So I had something kind of concerning happen last night while we were playing Final Fantasy 14.
Oh, yeah.
So we're playing, and I get a message from one of the warriors of Netherrealm, all right? Fucking Twitter smoke himself, Brian from Sacred Icon. I look down at my phone, and he just says, "Hey, Halls, are you around?" And I was like, "Oh, fuck. What is this about? What did I say now?" And I'm sitting there thinking, like, did I talk bad about the last season of Game of Thrones or Halo novels again? Because I do be known to do that sometimes, right? I was like, uh-oh, I'm trying to think. And I was like, yeah, hey, I'm around, I'm streaming, but, you know, I'm here. And then the next morning, a.k.a. today, I woke up, and he said, just wondering how far I am from you since I'm visiting my brother in Birmingham, Alabama. And I was like, well, that's pretty funny because we're in the same. Now, you know, and he was like, oh, we went to Full Moon. And I was like, that's cool. And, you know, yada, yada. I guess he's here visiting for most of this week. But I just kept thinking about how funny it would be if I came out in the middle of the night and there was just a thin layer of smoke covering my neighborhood. And I'm like, what's going on? And it's just eerily quiet. You know, and then from the whispers, I hear, what the fuck did you say about Game of Thrones season 8? You best watch your fucking mouth. And then Brian from Sacred Icon is there. He's wearing
his shadow.
Yeah, he's wearing a shirt with Josh's dick root on it.
They've been really into Star Wars lately.
I know.
Their last few episodes have been Star Wars retrospectives. It's been fun to listen to.
I know. I have yet to dive in just because I haven't had a lot of podcast listening time, but I'm obviously planning on checking that out for sure.
Oh yes, it's good times. Those guys are great.
Hope
you enjoyed Birmingham, Brian.
Yeah,
I lived there for 20 years. I remember I hit him on Twitter like right when we kind of became friends because he posted something about a band that was playing Furnace Fest. And he was like, oh, I wish I was there. And I'm like, I live like a minute and a half from there. You know what I mean? Like,
man,
it's just one of those things.
Do you know, Steve, so you know my current predicament I'm in, right?
Yeah.
Really want to go to Furnace Fest this year.
I did talk to Brad about this for you, by the way.
Oh, what did he say?
I did talk to him. He says he's not, he can't really speak to it.
Yeah.
But if pressed, he didn't think it was that great.
Okay. Well, and you know what? For such a big deal, they could have it make it easier for a dude for like me to email them and be like, hey, I would like to come see Coheed and Cambria at your festival, but I just need to know what the handicap shit is like. They don't have any kind of contact like that.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah. Come on, so, man.
Yeah, sorry, I did ask.
I do appreciate it. Like I said, when I first asked you, I was like, why would he know? But just in the off chance, you know.
That place is... I've been to just one show there, I think, and it was fine, but I felt like I had to stand on my tiptoes the whole time, and I didn't love it.
I've been
to my favorite venue in town.
I've been to quite a few shows at Sloss Furnace. Obviously, the Tenacious D show we both went to. I saw...
Did you see Slipknot there?
I did see Slipknot there, and I got knocked out.
Oh, that's the knockout.
Yeah, that's the one where I got my ass rocked by some rando during one of the opening bands. And then I saw Lacuna Coil there.
Oh, that's sick.
I saw Killswitch Engage there.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. Steve, stop it. Stop it. All right?
That was for you and Brian. I'm sure he loves them. He loves them.
I'm trying to think. I think that might be it. That might be all the shows I've been to there. I saw Stone Cobra there one time.
We played there? That's right.
Yeah,
oh,
on
my God, that show. I had like no sleep that night before. It was like an all day thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was like a St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah, that's right, St. Patrick's Day. Yeah, I purged that one from my memory.
Yeah. You were having one that day.
I remember. Yeah. That show sucked. We played there with my other cover band earlier too, like Spread Eagle played there
in
like 2005.
Yeah.
It was an interesting show, too.
You know, do you see this, Steve? This is the Furnace Fest website. Okay, I know the fucking lineup. First off, so these are the headliners. When are all these other bands playing, huh?
Mm-hmm.
That band Trapped Under Ice is pretty sick, by the way, Steve.
I love the name. It has to be a Metallica reference.
Oh, for sure. I don't know that there's really anybody else I want to see.
Shai Hulud.
Oh, is Shai Hulud there?
Mm-hmm.
Man. I was never really into them, but, you know.
No, yeah. Just wanted to say Shai Hulud.
Hello, it's your boy, Shai Hulud. Yeah, man. This is it.
That metalcore scene is not really for me, so.
Well.
But, I mean, like, Coheed and Cambria doesn't really seem to fit with a lot of these other bands, but you know, I assume they probably have some crossover appeal.
Well, you know,
the
way they sort of started off as a band was definitely sort of like, I don't know what you call it, like post-hardcore or something. Mm-hmm. So they kind of like definitely sort of straddle that line. I see that, like, who was it that had like a big anniversary hardcore show in Atlanta a few years back, and they were one of the headliners. It might have been like the Masquerade or something, right?
Mm-hmm. There was a show I saw that's happening. It might be in like California or something. It's like a one-off show where it's, I want to say,
System of a Down, fucking Deftones, yeah,
and the Mars Volta,
yeah.
Shit,
guys, get off your ass and play somewhere where real people can go see you.
That's
all right?
A killer bill, man.
I know, man.
I love all those bands.
My buddy Justin, our buddy Justin, got tickets to that, and that's sick.
The Mars Volta is a band I've kind of complicated feelings with. Like, I absolutely adore their first record. I think it's one of the best records ever. And after that, like, second record's fine. It's got some good stuff, but I just kind of fell out on them after that. But
yeah,
man, that,
you
first
know,
record is so good.
I have a few songs by them that I like, but they're not super my thing, you know? But I do, mm-hmm. you know, I get it, right? And it's not like one of those things where, like, I can't see why anybody would listen to this, you know?
Oh, right, no. Some talented guys.
So, yeah, I got to figure out how to contact Furnace Fest and be like, come on, guys, just tell me yesterday. If you say, hey, man, we're not equipped to do that, I'll say fair. You should be, but fair. Thanks for letting me know so I don't waste my evening. I'm going to spend my money going to see Limp Bizkit and Pelham instead.
Do they have a Facebook page?
They probably do. They probably yep. do, and it's probably some dude in a fedora with a massive vinyl collection answering all the messages.
That might be where your best bet, though.
Yeah. Yeah, you're probably right. I would like to go see them, though. If they, I mean, they're playing in Birmingham, and it's really, really chapping my butthole lips that I can't figure it out. All right, buddy, what do you want to talk about first in our list of topics?
Let's see. You threw a bunch out. Let's real quick touch on Final Fantasy, because I know you what you're talking about there. You're talking about the stuff coming out about the story for the third game.
Yep,
is basically kind of done.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's kind of a, you know, I notice. It was funny. I saw Adam Jones from Tool, like, kind of a circle back around music. I saw him in an interview recently talking about, like, yes, we know we need our next album needs to come out faster. I get it. And then he was kind of talking about how, like, when talking to fans, it'll be like, when's the new album coming out? And then when the new album comes out, it immediately turns, when's the next album? Mm-hmm. Right? Yep. And I hate to be that way with Final Fantasy, but it's part of a trilogy, right? This is an incomplete product, right now. And there's been a lot of news. There was one, an interview with Nobuo Uematsu, who said that he's going to be doing at least one piece of new music for the third game, which, you know, it's going to be a banger.
You just know it.
And then, yeah, they're saying that, you know, it basically took them 3 years to make Rebirth, because they spent a year post-release on Remake doing the DLC, and they don't have plans for DLC on this game. Which kind of makes sense considering how much shit is in that.
They don't need it.
Yeah, they don't need it, bro.
They do not need it. Yeah.
And they don't have any plans for that, and he's saying we want to have it done, the third one done in 3 years, which you have to imagine is their goal, because that's the 30th anniversary of mm-hmm. Final Fantasy VII, right, is 2027.
To hit the gas.
Yeah. Oh, well, so, you know, what's interesting was when they first showed off Rebirth, you know, like over like a year and a half ago or whatever, right? The very first time they showed it and showed the name and everything. At that time, they said, we're well into working on Rebirth and preliminary work on the third game has already started. And now they're talking about how the writing for the third game is already done, and they're expecting to start voice acting recording soon, mm-hmm. which is bananas.
It's good news, though. I mean,
oh, it is.
You know, and it would be fun if they started remaking it again, and, you know, then you would just always have like a cycle of, oh, well, the new remake is part two is coming out soon, and then like old remake part three isn't mm-hmm. coming out. So, you know what I mean? Like, there's always this overlapping new Final Fantasy VII game coming out.
Literally. So if they put out Final Fantasy VII
Beta. You no. shall not.
Or no, the they'll call it. You know, it'll have another R name. Reunion or I don't know. Whatever. Restart or whatever it is. Right. I can't even think. Remake. Rebirth.
Retaliation.
Reunion. Retaliation. That sounds kind of like a fucking Michael Bay version of a Final Fantasy game, or a fucking Mission Impossible movie mixed with a Final Fantasy game. But if when right. that game came out and like you're, they're like, we finished it. So, guys, just so you know, the next thing we're going to do is Final Fantasy VII Complete. It's just going to be, you know, a combined package of all three of the remake projects on the PlayStation 6, right? Sick. Awesome. Thank you, guys. I love that idea. And then after that, they released it and they're like, hear us out. So our this team, our next project is remaking Final Fantasy VII Remake. And they're going to split Final Fantasy VII Remake into three games, Rebirth into three games, and the third game into three games. So it's nine games total again. Steve, if I could
Midgar,
play...
The Midgar over three games.
Yeah, man. Midgar over three games. And I mean, listen, they're going at some point, they got to rip off the Band-Aid and just include hardcore fucking to fill out that runtime, you know? There's a very intense nipple tweaking mini game.
It's so funny to me. Just all right, guys, we're doing next project is remaking Final Fantasy VII
remake in three games. If from now until the day I'm no longer here, I have some sort of new Final Fantasy VII game to look forward to, mm-hmm. I'm fine with that, Steve.
It's the same game, only Tifa has like Jennifer Lawrence's face or something.
Oh, shit. Bro. Once we hit that fucking that Final Fantasy VII VR, like you're actually in Final Fantasy VII, I can't be streaming that, Steve.
Especially if that's why you wanted them to start including the hardcore.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because I'm kind of calculating it in my head, and I'm like, well, you know, probably by then there's a device that I could probably hook my dick up to and like, you know, like sit in my basement and be like, oh,
people doing that in the cyberpunk anime. They're just out there just. Porn addicted, and they've got the shit on their dick and whatnot. It's hilarious.
But out in public?
Yeah, out in public.
Oh, I would never do that. I would just be in my basement. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
The reason these people are out in public is because they lost everything to their addiction.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Poof.
That's a cyberpunk, you know, typically a pretty light, uplifting story.
Yeah, it's not dark. It definitely doesn't have any edge lord tendencies to it either, you know? Definitely doesn't have a line from Keanu Reeves that made me cringe so hard that I'm still cringing today. That definitely didn't happen.
That line is tough. It doesn't hold up at all anymore. It didn't age well either.
Yeah, when it showed up on the scene, it was curdled like milk.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, yeah man, just keep remaking Final Fantasy VII. The other thing they said was, you know, Yoshi P has been doing a lot of talking because of the upcoming Final Fantasy XIV expansion. Now, we won't really get into all that because we have a show dedicated to some Final Fantasy XIV stuff coming. But he did say that he wants to and plans on having a Final Fantasy VII event in Final Fantasy 14, but he wants to wait until the last game is in the series is out.
Man. Well, people will find out what we think about the Final Fantasy 16 quest in the next episode. So
yeah, look forward to that. Yeah, we both recently completed the Final Fantasy 16 crossover event in Final Fantasy 14, and it was something. We'll go into that more later. But I did see, he said something to the effect of they were talking about the story and they had an idea that they decided like had to be in the third game and they're just trying to figure out how to work it in into the third Final Fantasy VII remake game. And buddy, I think that might be maybe like a some sort of Advent Children related epilogue or something, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
Yeah. You know what I'm really hoping, and I know this won't happen. Now, I love the idea of them constantly remaking Final Fantasy VII, but what I would think would be sick is after the third game in the series comes out, they're like, oh, by the way, we're remaking Advent Children and, you know, doing like a new version of that that follows up on the remake trilogy as opposed to the OG game,
mm-hmm.
you know, which we won't really go into the differences there because it's kind of spoilerly, but I would love if they do that. I would love if they do that.
You know what I would love is if for Final Fantasy 17, it was set in Eorzea.
Oh my God.
You know what I mean? Like a real, like, high quality focused story that's set in Eorzea. You know what I mean? You don't have to see the whole thing.
No.
But you could see like a couple of choice locations.
Well,
from it, you know?
You know, they did that so much with Ivalice, right? Mm-hmm. Like, Ivalice mm-hmm. is a Final Fantasy location that showed up in multiple games at this point.
Tactics was the one that I was most familiar with.
Yeah,
that,
Tactics, that one, Final yeah. Fantasy XII, Vagrant Story. There's a few, right, set in Ivalice. I do think it would be sick to have a mainline single-player Final Fantasy game set in Eorzea. And honestly, buddy, I think there's a few different ways they could go about it. I think they could do pre-A Realm Reborn. It could be mm-hmm. set before A Realm Reborn. Or fuck it, set it during the events. Let me import my Final Fantasy XIV character into the game
wow.
and I can run across him. You know what I mean?
That would be cool, but something tells me that wouldn't happen. But yeah, you could definitely, I would say, set it during part of the storyline.
Yeah,
you know, mm-hmm. it could be sometime in Heavensward, or you know, it could really be anything.
And like it's such a good location. Like, one thing they would have to do is maybe smooth over some of the like Final Fantasy greatest hits vibe of Final Fantasy 14,
mm-hmm.
but mm-hmm. that wouldn't even be that hard. You know,
I kind of understand what you're talking about. With that said, we're still pretty. I mean, we're at the end of it, but the original story, uh-huh. Realm Reborn, I think it gets a little less Final Fantasy greatest hits after that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, I don't know. Like, that's when you get into being able to do, like, the Kefka raid. And...
Oh, yeah, that's a great point. Yeah, there's definitely some nostalgia nods in there for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, for sure. Now, man, a single-player Final Fantasy game set in Eorzea, especially if Yoshi P is involved like he was with 16.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And all joking aside, dead ass what they should do with this remake team once they finish is remake 4 or 6.
Six.
Seriously. That's it's either or. Like, yeah. It doesn't matter. Either one would get me just as excited.
Yeah, gonna, I mean, you know, with this level of care and attention, like, now,
yeah, look at the success Capcom is having with the Resident Evil remakes. You know
for
what I
mean? Sure,
I
absolutely.
I know these are different games, but at the same time, you got to think, like, there is still a big audience for those games, those two yeah. games.
Well, and this is the thing, like, the amount of people, like, that you hear about now who played Remake and then were like, oh, I'm going to go check out the original, right? Mm-hmm. That happens. Now, I don't want them to do a similar gimmick in 4 or 6 that they did in the 7 remake, even though I love the gimmick in the 7 remake.
Oh, like right? where you fuck with the story a little bit?
Well, right. Yeah, that whole thing that, like I said, we're not going to go into super details with, but it's a little more than a remake, these mm-hmm. games, right? I think
we talked about it in our remake episode.
Yeah,
sure,
you could. I think you could take 6 and split it into 2 games, right?
Absolutely.
That have the yeah. second game be the World of Ruin. That would be sick. What a cliffhanger, right?
Mm-hmm.
Great cast, great story. 4, I think you can knock that out in 1 rebirth-sized remake game. And it would be sick.
Maybe. For some reason, like for me, I was thinking they could both be 2 games because they kind of both have like real natural like...
Yeah, now the real breaking point in 4 where Cecil becomes a paladin instead of a dark knight, right? The last
that's too early in the
yeah,
game for
it
me.
It certainly
to,
is.
Yeah,
that's what I was going to say. Is like that is so early. Like,
no, I was thinking later, like when Golbez takes kidnaps What's-Her-Nuts, Rosa.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
I think that would maybe be the part.
That's a good one, too. Yeah, that would be sick. Yeah. I know they supposedly have a remake of 9 in the works. I love
that'd
that.
That'd be sweet. Yeah, it's a great game.
Like 9, they should use the art style and the engine from Dragon Quest 11, mm-hmm. and it would fit perfectly. And supposedly there's also one for 10 in the works that might be ready by its 25th anniversary in 2026. I'll be very excited about that if that's the case.
Right.
But I guess we'll see. All right, buddy. So when we did our top 5 episode, there was a game on there that you're a huge fan of on your top 5 list. Your wife got way into it. I've been into it. Jeff's been into it. We got, I would say we, but more you got Emily Lind into it. Mm-hmm. A lot of people we know at one point or another in their life have been balls deep obsessed with Slay the Spire, right? And I remember the last time I was fucking around with it, we were talking once and I was like, well, what? So does that studio just support Slay the Spire, or do they have something else in the works? And you're like, well, they do have something in the works, but we don't know what it is. Well, I guess we do now, right?
We sure do.
And what is that?
It is Slay the Spire 2, baby. I couldn't be happier. And I mean, like I was telling you the other night, I'm pretty sure I've said on this podcast, I didn't expect them to do a sequel. I thought they were going to be like, we want to move on. You know, we had success with that. We want to try something new, but... they're bringing it back to the well, baby, and I couldn't be happier because honestly, I feel like there's still just so much meat on that bone. They didn't really update it much past that one character they added, and now it's set 1,000 years in the future past the first game.
Oh, really? They've said that?
Yeah.
Oh, that's.
Cool. We should watch the trailer while we're on here. We can do a little trailer react.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't seen it yet.
It's very. It's not a long trailer. It's less than a minute, I believe.
Yeah, I even remember saying something to you about, oh, with that game being so successful, they might do a sequel, and you're like, I don't know.
I'm really happy that they are.
Yeah. Oh, I.
Yep, just kind of some stylized graphics.
Yeah, it looks really good already, though.
Yeah.
You know?
A bit of a... It feels like almost a Darkest Dungeon-y kind of vibe a little bit.
Uh-huh. There's my lady.
Yep, the silent... And then whoever this skeleton reaper thing is.
New character class. Yep. That's interesting.
You get early access 2025. Yep. And I imagine that it's going to be... that was the whale. I imagine it's going to be probably out late 2025 for broader audiences.
Oh, my God. The top two comments on this video on YouTube are sick. So the first one is, sir, they slayed the second spire.
Oh,
and then the second one was, I can't wait to suck at this one, too. I hear you, SR Sachanina.
Man, look, it's hard. It's awesome to know that there's a sequel coming out to a game that I gleefully have spent thousands of hours on. You know what I mean? Like, I can't wait to spend thousands more on this game. And it's going to be probably like $20.
Yeah, man. Yeah,
$30 maybe.
So something tells me you're gonna be hopping onto that bad bitch Steam Deck and getting on this on early access real soon.
I won't be waiting around for. I'll be like, hey guys, I got a cutting edge gaming PC finally.
I had to play Slay the Spire.
Yeah.
And this is what it sounds like, Steve, fucking gaming on his cutting edge gaming PC. Clicking the mouse a whole bunch.
Yep, just drawing cards.
Uh-huh. Damn it! Man, Will's going to be stoked. Oh, have we even had a chance to talk to about this with Will? I don't think so.
I don't believe so either.
Yeah, yeah. I can't remember. Yeah, he's going to be stoked. He's into that game too. Yeah, it's cool, man. I know you said that there was some, not a lot, but there was a little bit of like internet try-hard pushback about this, being like, who needs more Slay the Spire?
Plenty they've already said everything they needed to say about Slay the Spire. Like, I was like, what do you mean, say
everything they need to say? It's a card game, bro.
Yeah.
You never played a card game?
You can invent more cards easily. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, now they probably have enough money to hire a real team of people as opposed to the two people who made that original game.
Right.
So now you're getting input from all these other there's tons of room for that game to grow.
Well, and not just that, like, there's a lot of things the developers have learned over the years of supporting Slay the Spire. And, like,
absolutely.
You know what else is cool? Fucking sequels to things you like.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
Get out of here.
Sometimes those sequels are great, you know?
I do kind of wonder, because there seems to be this little bit of a thing of, like, and when I say a little bit, it's not that many, but for instance, the difference between Darkest Dungeon and Darkest Dungeon 2, right? Mm-hmm. Or the difference between Helldivers and Helldivers 2. I wonder if there's going to be some sort of twist or iteration on Slay the Spire 2.
I bet there will regard. Be.
Yeah, I don't think
it's going to be the exact same.
No, I don't think either.
Thing we're used to. Yeah. I think
Steve, hear me out. What if it's a hardcore Slay the Spire sex simulator?
Ooh, dating sex sim.
Oh my God. Me and the Silent going on dates.
My wife would make a face. And
my wife!
She'd play it for a few minutes and she'd be like, hey, I don't know. I think I kind of like it.
Then 2,000 hours later, she's an expert. She's editing the guide on IGN on how to.
She gets hired by Future Press.
To write the book. That would be sick. If there was anybody that had a chance of that, it would be Cindy.
That's another bit of news we could mention is that.
I know you're
Future
excited
Press,
about this.
They announced they're officially reprinting the Bloodborne with the Old Hunters DLC guide folded into it. Which I'm glad they announced it. I was not surprised, but at the
same time, a little bit worried.
Like, I was worried.
I remember talking to you like. As it was going on where they were asking, because I remember, you know, when they're like, hey, vote in the poll on which book you want us to reprint. And there was a few options. And I know, like, the Dark Souls Compendium ended up winning out. And you said they would.
Pretty handily. Yeah.
Yeah. We're like, well, we're going to do another one, too. And I could hear the worry in your voice when you're like, oh, they do Bloodborne.
Yeah, I was hoping that it wasn't going to be like, look, we're going to do Control. We don't only do FromSoft games, but they, you know, they smartly realized that.
Fucking warehouse of unsold Control books.
Yeah, you'd be seeing them things in Barnes & Noble for the next 20 years.
Yeah, I'd go to check out my next volume of Berserk at Second and Charles, and they'd give me a free Control guide on the way out. You know what I mean? Well, I guess it's finally time for me to play this game.
Uh-huh. That's a nice guide.
I'll be damned. That's a good book. You know what's crazy? So you texted me about it, and you're like, fuck yes. And I was like, hell yeah, because I'm going to get that for sure. And that very day that you texted me about it, I got off work and went outside, and my Dark Souls Compendium had finally been delivered.
Nice book, too. You sent me a nice picture of it.
Yeah, I was like, I'll be damned the timing on this. And it is, by the way, a sick book.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Yeah, I've been always happy with their stuff.
You know they talk about the seven degrees of seven Kevin Bacon or whatever?
However many
degrees of Kevin Bacon. So that means right now someone listening to this show either works for or knows someone that works for Future Press. Let's get going. You guys could, by the time the third game comes out, you could have the first two books knocked out. Let's get a remake, a Final Fantasy VII remake book and a rebirth book from you guys. Please, please.
Obviously, they'll be putting out the DLC guide for Shadow of the Erdtree.
They make a few bucks. They can have a couple of nerds working on more than one book, Steve. All right. Mikola, yada, yada, yada. Yeah, get that in my hands, please. But, all right. Hey, you know, if you guys need to have someone write about 75 to 89 pages about Tifa for that guide, I got you.
The guide to romancing Tifa. That's the only part you write. And it's like a 100-page thesis.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's got a special fabric bookmark just at that section.
You deeply
as a jizz rag.
You deep dive into every single possible choice that you have. You know?
Yeah, yeah. It's real complicated diagrams and sacred geometry equations and shit.
You folding it back to like the original game and doing all this crazy shit.
People be like, they hired a crackhead to write that part. Comes with a commemorative jizz towel. If you pre-order the book. Yeah, man, I think it's sick. I think it's fucking sick that they're reprinting those books. I don't know that there's any other from books that once I get the Bloodborne one, I have the Dark Souls one, I have the two Elden Ring ones. Obviously, I'll get one for Shadow of the Erdsteeve, but I think that's it on the from books that I would want from them.
Yeah, they do. They did have one for Dark Souls Remastered, which was nice. And then there was one for Dark Souls 2, but that one's actually defunct now because they came out with a new version of Dark Souls 2, that Scholar Edition. Yeah, and there is the Sekiro book, which is out of print, and that's a very nice one that I have. But you know, you also know me at this point, and I'm basically like, of all the From games, Sekiro is the one that I could basically walk you through with my eyes closed.
Oh my god, this man, he was just casually duty stomping Sekiro while he was visiting.
This is another one, these Horizon books, boy, they're still selling them, trying to get them out of there.
I'm surprised you didn't grab the Armored Core one.
Oh, I have it.
Oh, never
mind. I've got it, yeah.
That Animal Crossing book is kind of sick, but I don't need it, you know? Let's see. The Dark Souls Trilogy Compendium. You know, there was one other one that I... Oh, so they do some art of and making of books, too.
That's cool. Oh, totally. Yeah, they've had to...
Oh, my God. The World of Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Breakpoint. Jesus Christ. A big box of those showed up at the recycling center. I guess that's a little mean, but it's true. yeah, man, I wish they would do a fucking Final Fantasy book because nobody does the guides anymore.
Kingdoms of Amalur, that's a weird one.
You know, they were trying. They're trying their best. Killzone 3, Vanquish, Bayonetta. Damn. Okay, guys. You know,
Vanquish and Bayonetta are awesome games.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I know that there isn't as big of a market for those type of books as there used to be, but I just can't imagine that a really nice hardcover guide for the Final Fantasy VII remake games would sell poorly. You know?
Totally. Yeah, I think that what you're looking at is like, is it the kind of fan base that is going to buy something simply because it's more of a collector's item?
Yes.
Right, which is sad that that's what these books are now. They're more collector's items than they are actual strategy guides.
Right, yeah.
You know? Because if you're sitting on your couch and you're playing a game, you're more than likely just going to whip your phone out if you're having an issue you can't get past. So, you know, you gotta have a game that has a rabid enough fan base that they're going to want to buy that kind of stuff.
And I'll be damned, Final Fantasy VII is that fan base.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's good. Final Fantasy has to have like one of the more rabid fan bases about that stuff.
Boy, you know, I can't wait until hopefully 2027 when the third game comes out so I can watch more people argue about shipping wars in Final Fantasy VII like petulant children. You know what's nice about that, Steve, is just knowing you're right, and I know I'm right, and that the correct shipping is Cloud and Tifa and Zack and Aerith. So all you fucking dickbags arguing about Claudie and Claris,
I mean, look. I'm just saying, Clarith has some juice to it, bro.
Listen, I'm just saying this. I was a skate all the way, all along, and lost. And look who was right, Steve. Look who was right. All right. Everybody was like, "Nah, Jack and or Kate and Sawyer are gonna end up together in the end. I said, are you sure about that? You sure about that? Because here comes Juliet with a dickbag smirk, and guess what's about to happen?
So, Aerith is no Juliet, my friend.
Oh, I would never compare Aerith to Juliet. Aerith is a very...
You mean like you just did?
Well, no, I'm just... I didn't compare her. I'm just saying an instance where I knew the correct shipping all along and was right. No, Aerith is nothing like Juliet. I actually like Aerith as a character, and I think she's awesome. But come on. All right? It's like... It's like comparing, you know what, we'll move on. As someone who knows he's right, I don't have to sit here and argue the facts. You know what I mean? We could just
belabor
move on.
The point, yeah.
Have you checked out the Fallout show yet?
I have not, but I've heard good things.
I keep hearing good things about it, too. I've been meaning to text our buddy Evan about it and see what he thinks, because he's a massive Fallout fan.
Yeah, I've been hearing like the polar opposite of shit that I heard about the Halo show, you know.
Well, that don't take much. I could make a show that was better than the Halo show with my iPhone in my kitchen. You know what I mean?
Speaking of fan films, did you see that our buddy Tom Sutton has been in the Star Wars fan film the last couple of days shooting?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you should check his Instagram.
Oh, it's, boy. It's, yeah. Oh, hell yeah. You know this man. He likes a few things in life, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Fucking ripping, shredding fucking guitar, being shirtless in the woods, and doing Star Wars shit in the woods. This man is thriving right now, I bet. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he looks so happy in all the pictures.
Good for him, man. Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of Star Wars... I'm a little worried about Star Wars Outlaws.
Really?
Now, that is to say, I'm not worried about anything we've seen or heard about the game, right? Mm-hmm. Nothing I've seen or anything they've said makes me go, ooh, this looks bad. It's just more the Ubisoft thing, man.
Dude, I'm glad we're talking about this because I wanted to talk about it on the podcast. I really am going to have to be sold on that game after it comes out, I think, because of the Ubisoft thing.
I kind of said it on Blue Harvest this week and ruffled a couple of feathers, not a lot, but like sometimes that Ubisoft logo on a game is
it's a killer,
an award of mediocrity.
Absolutely. Could not have agreed with you more on that when you said that, by the way.
It's been a long time since I've picked a Ubisoft game up and been like, this game is bad, right? Most of the time my reaction is, this game is okay, right?
Yep, yeah. Just now, somewhere kind of in the middle.
And the other thing is, I don't know about this whole season pass thing, like, for single player games, season pass content seems kind of passe at this point.
It's honestly like it's annoying to me as somebody just looking from the outside in, because it always seems that they're just trying to gouge Star Wars fans.
It's like, it's okay. You guys don't get a lot of Star Wars games anymore. Here's a new one, and
guess
what?
That's what I'm saying. Like, you're going to get ripped for it because, you know, I don't blame people for wanting to play it early and they're going to shell out the extra money.
Now, that is a whole nother practice. And the thing that sucks, Steve, is I'm part of the problem. Every single time there's a game I want to play that has like pay extra money and you can play it early, I do it. I did it with Like a Dragon Ishin. I did it with fucking... Infinite Wealth. I did it every time I have an option to play it early by paying more. I do it, right?
So I get that, you know, like for people our age, you know, who have, you know, no kids and expendable income, like 20 extra bucks here and there isn't that big of a deal, and our time is what we're paying for,
right?
We want to play it early.
I hate the practice.
I do too.
But they've got their nails in me, Steve, and I don't know what to do. Now, I'm going to play this, and I'm rooting for this game, right? I want this game to be really good because I think the gameplay, I think the story, yada, 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 does look cool, right? So it's got that going for it. And if it was any other publisher, well, not any, but most other publishers besides Ubisoft, I would certainly be a little more excited about it. I'm right. just a little nervous. Right?
Now, here's the con. Let me play a little devil's advocate for you.
Okay.
Because normally I'm all in on hating Ubisoft, bro. But here's the con. You're going to get something that should be relatively polished, even though it's mm-hmm. it's kind of surprising that it's coming out. I think you and I are both a little surprised that it's making mm-hmm. this August deadline.
Well,
it hasn't yet, obviously, yeah. but we'll see. You know, I'm hoping that there will at least say what you want about the Assassin's Creed games, and I think they've been mediocre for a long time. They look great, and
yeah, they do. They
feel pretty good to play too.
Yeah, no, and that's what I mean is like I've had wonderful experience with Ubisoft games, mm-hmm. right? I hear the new Prince of Persia game is really fun, right? I hear it's actually mm-hmm. really, really good.
You talking about the Metroidvania one?
Yeah.
I want to check that out at some too. Point. Seems a little pricey now, but yeah.
You know, I really like some of the Assassin's Creed games. The last one that I really, really got into was Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag, and I really got into it, and it is very good.
That was before they kind of, in my opinion, started to lose the plot.
Ripping off The Witcher.
Yeah, they kind of started... You're right. They started ripping off The Witcher. The maps just got too bloated.
Yeah, and just now I know there are people out there that are crazy for Origin and Odyssey.
Right.
And I've played both of those. I have Origin
as well. I've never... Oh, you beat Origin.
Yeah, I never beat Odyssey. Yeah. And both of those were really good games. Like,
I couldn't make it past 10 hours into either.
I don't know about really good. Let me step that back. Both of those were good games that I enjoyed, but there with Odyssey, there came a certain point where, like, when I sat down to play something, it wasn't Odyssey. And so much time went by that I just right. didn't go back to Odyssey.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
When you played Odyssey, did you play as the man or the woman?
The lady.
Okay. She was apparently much better to play as in that game. Like, if you played as the guy, the game was terrible because the character just kind of sucked. But apparently the voice actress was really good for the lady. So that was the right move. You know, and of course, people are going to be hating on this Star Wars stuff because, oh, Lord, lordy, lordy, it's a fucking lady.
Now, Now, one thing I want to make expressly clear, one of the things I think is cool about this game is that you're playing
a lady.
Yeah.
I mean, look, you and I are fucking nerds, dorks, right? Like, a lot of times when we make our own characters, they're fucking ladies in these games. A lot of times.
A lot of times. I would rather look at a lady for 40 hours than some dude.
Yeah,
you know?
if it's a
character.
Well, yeah, if I'm playing like something in a From game, it's almost exclusively a lady. Just in my mind, it's like an anime happening. I always like seeing kick-ass ladies.
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
it has nothing to do with look how hot my chick is or I'm gonna stare at her ass while I'm playing.
Now listen,
like I'm gonna be doing
Stellar Blade comes out tomorrow, and I'm gonna be doing
Man, I wish it came out tomorrow. It's not coming out until like next Friday.
Oh, I thought it was the 15th.
I'm pretty sure it's the 24th. I wish it was tomorrow. Shit, that would be awesome.
Oh, God. Please, I was literally planning on playing this tonight. Oh, my God. The 26th.
Yep, I'm sorry.
Oh, I thought it came out the 15th.
Oh, man, I would have been jacked to the gills talking about it earlier. No, I'm very excited about that, though. It's funny, though. We jumped into, if we wanted to stare at a chick, we'd play fucking Stellar Blade.
Yeah. Man.
Or Nier or something like that. But yeah. And to be fair, our characters in Final Fantasy 14 are fellas. You know what I mean?
Oh, well, I've played both.
Yeah, we've done both. It's no big deal.
Yeah, man. Listen, there is a ecosystem for being a dick about ladies online, right?
Yeah,
there seriously is. And all you got to do is be a dude that can somehow rub your two brain cells together while you're wearing your Oakley glasses in your car and talk shit about a lady being in a movie or a game, and yep. then the fucking basement dwellers with doo-doo feces in their butt cracks and, you know, inch-long neck beards are like, oh, like and subscribe. Let me sign up for your Cyber Frog Kickstarter.
Yeah, man, maybe I'll go to his alpha male boot camp.
Oh, my God. Yeah, and it sucks because... It sucks because they're dicks, and they're being dicks about ladies being in stuff. And it also sucks that they're making money doing that, right? Like, do you know this dude? This man lives, I'm not going to say the name of their channel out on
yeah,
the...
Don't, yeah, don't, because I don't want to give any fucking people like that.
Yeah, so any, you see this guy?
Platform, however small.
You see this guy?
Yeah.
Gina Carano versus Lucasfilm. Vegas meetup. Oh, you bet that meetup was stanky.
Ooh, I bet that was pretty cringy.
Oh, my God. Look at these dudes, Steve.
Oh, man.
People think these dudes are cool.
Oh, man.
Oh. But my nervousness about Star Wars Outlaws has nothing to do about the main character.
Oh, of course right? not. No, me neither. No.
Now, I showed Will that Will and I soft. Watched the trailer, right?
It's a good trailer.
It is a good trailer.
It's a story trailer, right? Like
there
is
a little gameplay in it, but not much. Mm-hmm. Now let's watch the beginning here and tell me if something seems off about the facial capture. You want to watch this with me?
Yeah, yeah. Let's do it.
Represent some of the most powerful criminal organizations in the galaxy.
You talking about with everybody? Or
specifically that guy.
Yeah, I can see what you mean.
It's a golden age for the underworld.
You see what I mean?
It's good. It's not as good as the Helldivers. Remember the Helldivers opening?
Oh my God. Or Final Fantasy Rebirth?
Yeah.
And by the way, like, I know we're comparing two different games from two different studios, but that's the level of game this is supposed to be, right?
I kind of like her design. I don't know.
I think her design
hair is cool.
Like, yeah, I think she's sick. She seems like a rad lady.
Yeah.
I just know there's going to be a fucking statue on my Star Wars collection of this lady at some point. I can just tell if the game is halfway decent.
Now, yeah, I want this to be good for
oh my God.
For you, and then if you like it, then that means hell yeah, I'm going to play it at some point. This
job? And
because, you know, like I said,
you know, for the last 10 years, right? Star Wars games have been like sort of locked down by EA with their exclusive agreement, right? And with that agreement opening up to where other studios besides EA or other publishers besides EA can make Star Wars games, it is going to be extremely hit or miss, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Just because some studio can pay the licensing fee does not mean they can create good quality Star Wars.
I do know what you mean, though. There is something a little off
about the facial capture, the mouth thing. Now, also, we're talking about a game that's about 4.5 months out. There's plenty of time to fix that, right?
Yeah. But I mean, and also, whatever. It's a video game. Not the end of the world. Like, that's a nitpicky. Honestly, that's kind of nitpicky, in my opinion,
Buddy, that's not the kind of thing that normally stands out to me. So when it does, to me, that is noticeable, right? Mm-hmm. Normally, I'm not someone that goes, oh, weird, the fucking dialogue facial animation looks weird and stiff.
Right, but it's not like the Uncanny Valley where it's so realistic, mm-hmm. like your brain's doing that weird thing. Mm-hmm. Did we ever talk about that on the podcast, how like there's this theory about the Uncanny Valley? That's kind of creepy.
Yeah, that like the closer like sort of computer graphics get to recreating human likeness, the more your brain has a disconnect and can't process it.
Right, it's creepy. But the creepy thing is that there's a theory that there was like something that used to prey on humans that was able to mimic humans so efficiently that's why our brains still kind of distrust when something looks like a human, looks very human, but
now,
isn't.
Steve, I've never heard this.
You've never heard that?
I hang out with Will.
I was going to say, you can definitely YouTube that. It's definitely a... honored. I got the X-Files music.
Dude, that's kind of fucking spooky.
I know.
It would
people
have
say
to be.
It's bullshit, but, you know.
Yeah,
it's,
people
it's
say it's bullshit until an alien shows up in my front yard that looks 90% like Steve.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I'm like, Steve, I don't think that's you, buddy. I went.
Yeah, and at some point, you know, there must have been the theory goes there must have been something that was able to mimic us that closely, you know, which is very creepy.
Okay, let me see here. Let's go. Uncanny. It's going to immediately put in X-Men. No, it didn't. Uncanny Valley theory.
X-Men.
Yeah, Uncanny. Uncanny Valley, the land of the creepy. The Uncanny Valley Predator theory?
That's it, the Predator theory.
Oh my God. There's nothing it could have been but extraterrestrial, Steve.
Probably.
You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing else it could have been. If that theory was true, it could only be... All right, I can't look into this right now. I can't look into this tonight. I got to read about this in the light of the sun tomorrow or my ass ain't sleeping tonight.
Praise the sun. Yeah. Bring it back up on Blue Harvest. Well, I'll be curious to get Will's thoughts. God. He'll probably think it's bullshit, but.
No, he won't. He won't. I can tell you right now, he will not. Will gets a little. And, you know, this is not, I don't want it to seem like I'm talking shit about Will because I'm not.
No.
And he would freely admit this as well. Will gets a little lost in the sauce on the conspiracy theories sometimes. You know what I mean? You know, it's one of those things where he's so into it that sometimes, and he would freely admit this as well, he reads something and goes, oh, well, then that has to be true. You know?
Right.
Because
you kind of want it to be, you know?
Yeah, yeah. The thing about Will is, I think he would prefer if all the alien theories he reads about weren't true, though, you know, because it freaks him out.
Mm.
But maybe he's just taken worst case scenario approach. So then whenever the aliens do reveal themselves, maybe it's not as bad as he built it up to be.
Could be. You should just send him that video about the Uncanny Valley Predator and just don't say anything else.
Send him a poorly facially animated video of me talking to him, being like, hello, buddy, you should watch this YouTube video.
Looking like something out of an Aphex Twin video or something.
Bro. When you were a teenager, Steve, were you a sleep with a TV on guy?
Okay, so no. But I got there weirdly for like my 20s.
Okay.
My whole 20s, I slept with the TV on. I don't do it anymore.
So when I was a kid, when I was a teenager, and so we can loop this back into the topic of conversation, right? I was asleep with the TV on kid. I had like a tiny little, like, I don't know, 20-inch TV with a built-in VCR on a desk in my room, and that's what I played every Final Fantasy game on, right? Including Final Fantasy VII. And I vividly remember staying up to like 3 or 4 in the morning on a school night playing Final Fantasy VII, going to bed and waking up to go to school, right? And I remember one time, it had to be on the weekend because I woke up in the middle of fucking 120 minutes with Matt Penfield. And so, like, I'm laying in bed, and I open my eyes, and the first thing I look at as I open my eyes was an Aphex Twin video.
Oh, for fuck's sake. That's
and I
terrifying.
Was like, fuck me!
It's like a sleep paralysis demon.
Yeah, that's exactly what it's like.
Was it window liquor?
It was.
Yeah.
That one's fucking disturbing, too.
Yeah. Have you ever heard the...
Buddy, we just had a technical difficulty that almost gave me a heart attack. So we're just sitting here talking about Aphex Twin, and then went on. Now Steve didn't, but I went on a serious rallying cry against Mike Patton, despite liking Faith No More and Mr. Bungle and stuff. And right as like I was just letting the Mike Patton heat fucking cool down, and I looked at the recorder and it said SD card out of room, and it wasn't recording anymore. And Steve, I didn't know when it stopped recording. So we had to pause real quick, import the audio file, and the only thing that it missed was all the Mike Patton slander. So I think old Mikey Patton must have fucking sent out a psychic demon to sabotage that part of the show.
Maybe so. You got off light, Mike.
Yeah, you just wait. You just wait until I'm ready to rail against some fucking snotty-nosed hipster who, you know, makes excuses for people's bad behavior but also really loves Mike Patton. You just wait. Now, I'm coming back for you. One thing, though, that's much more positive is I've been playing around with the PlayStation Portal for, I think I've had it maybe about a month and a half at this point. So for people that may not know, the PlayStation Portal is a handheld gaming device, right? It essentially looks like they sawed a PlayStation 5 controller in half and put a nice screen in the middle. Now, it is solely a remote play device, meaning there's no storage, right? There's no playing games that are stored on the Portal. You're solely connecting to your PlayStation game, your PlayStation 5, and basically remote play streaming the game on your Portal. And I was like, I remember when it first got announced, I was like, oh, that's cool. And then when it turned out it was just like $200 for one of those things, I was kind of sold on it, but I wanted to see reviews, and people seemed pretty positive about it. It's solid. It's a neat little fucking device, I have to be honest. You know, there is definitely certain games that I can't see playing on there, right? Because there is, to me, it's not even super noticeable, but there is a little bit of input lag, right? So, for instance, I've played some Elden Ring on it, right? I've played Final Fantasy 14. I've played Rebirth, Final Fantasy 7 Rebirth. All of those games I was able to play and have a good time with no problem, right? The only game that I've encountered that gave me an issue on the Portal was...
Was that rhythm game?
Yeah, yep, Final Fantasy Theater Rhythm, the Final Fantasy rhythm game. And it, like, you know, because that's a game that requires such precision, at least on the level I play it at, which isn't even the highest one. It's not me right. trying to brag. It requires such precision that that tiny little bit of input lag really throws it off, right? The screen quality on this thing, beautiful. Beautiful screen in the Portal. It's super lightweight. It's weird going from the Steam Deck to the Portal because how light the Portal is. Now, the Portal is much less powerful, right? Like, it requires a lot less internal hardware.
Right.
But yeah, it's a nice little device. Like, you know, it's nice to be like, all right, well, I should probably go get in bed and start trying to fall asleep. I don't have to necessarily stop playing this game to do that, though. I can go run side quests in Rebirth or play mini games in Rebirth or whatever it may be. Do my supplying and provisioning quests in 14, you know, without having to be right in front of the TV.
Mm-hmm.
Setup was easy. The only thing that I've encountered that's a little weird with it is because there's no touch bar. You know what I mean? Like, just it's not partly there, and a lot of games require that. And to access the touch bar functionality, you have to take your thumbs and double tap them on either side of the screen. Doesn't always register that super well.
Yeah, I don't love that, but that's okay too. I mean, a lot of times that's not something you have to be like in the heart of combat hitting.
I'll tell you when it does become a bit of a pain in the ass is trying to pull up like the assess details.
Ooh, Rebirth, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That makes sense.
But otherwise, I really like this thing, man. You know, it's not anything that they necessarily need. It's not like a PSP, right, where they don't need to continually releasing new software to support it, right? So it's not like there's going to be a drought of games for the Portal. All the games you play on the Portal are stored on the PS5. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I think it's sick. I, you know, through the Switch to the Steam Deck to the Portal, I do enjoy having like a nicer, bigger handheld gaming device, you know, for, you know, those moments when I might want to fuck around with something, but I'm not sitting in my recliner in front of the TV or sitting at my computer desk, right? Mm-hmm. It's really nice for when it's slow at work. And like I said, it's nice to just sit in bed and fuck around. Now, there have been a few weird instances of graphical stuff, because one thing I've noticed, and I have solid internet at my house, when I first connect to the PlayStation, it's very pixely and blurry. It takes a second, but then it clears up pretty well. And then, you know, depending on what's going on, because sometimes when I'm playing on my Portal, I'm probably also listening to music on my headphones or watching something on YouTube or downloading something on the Xbox in the living room. When there are those sort of like dips in bandwidth, mm-hmm. you know, you can see the graphics sort of go blurrier or more pixely and then go back. But overall, like, once you get a solid connection and you get cooking in a game, it stays pretty solid, too.
Heck yeah, that's good to know. So, I'll have to keep my eye out for one of these, I think.
Yeah, and I'll be honest with you, buddy. I still can't figure out why they don't have that sign-up option on their website anymore that I was telling you about. I've been looking for it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's just something they open up in the days leading up to them releasing more stock. Because the way I got mine, I started becoming interested in it, and I talked to our buddy Mike Pappas. If you're ever on the fence about buying something, don't talk to Mike Pappas, because he's going to be like, it's great and you should buy it.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, cool. I'm going to get one of these. And they were just sold out everywhere. They're still kind of hard to get a hold of.
Yeah, they can't get them right now.
And
unless you're willing to pay above market.
Yeah. No, it's cool. It's very cool. It's very nice. It's not worth paying anything above sticker price, though. Mm-mm. I went to the PlayStation Direct website and signed in, and they're like, if you want a notification when they're in stock, let you know, click this or whatever. And I got an email that was like, would you like to buy a PlayStation Portal? And I said, I would. And then so I was telling you about that, and you went and looked, and there wasn't an option. I said, well, hold on, let me go and look. And I'll be damned, there was not an option.
Yeah, I looked all over the place. It's all right. Yeah, the if the opportunity presents itself, I'll
make
the move.
They will.
Yeah.
They definitely will. You know, it's one of those things that will be easier and easier to get a hold of. But I think it's solid. I was kind of considering either upgrading to the Steam Deck OLED or getting maybe the one of those other, you know, handheld gaming PCs that have come out.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, honestly, it was probably the best choice for me to go with the Portal, because that's got the stuff I can't play on my Steam Deck. You know
right.
what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes time, I'll upgrade my Steam Deck. When they bring out a Steam Deck 2 or something, I'm probably all in on it. Because I thought I would play the Steam Deck a lot. I've gotten a lot of use out of that thing. Mm-hmm. And it is solid hardware. You know, I don't know about you, but I've gone back and forth with portable gaming, right? Like, I digged having a Game Boy back in the day. You know, I fucked around with the Game Boy Advanced SP, you know, and have at different times fucked around with PSP or 3DS or whatever. But it was never something that, like, I could sit there for hours and do like I can with a console game.
Yeah.
Now that they're getting a little more high quality and a little more fancy, like with your Steam Decks, your Switch, your Portals, yada, 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 to me, it's a much better experience, and it is pretty neat. They just got to get that battery life thing down a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That reminds me, you know, I don't know what the battery life is on the Portal. 'Cause I can't imagine it's too terrible. 4 to 5 hours, okay, it could be better.
That's not bad.
It's not bad. It's not bad at all. Like, I don't know. You know, sometimes when I see people talking about battery life, I'm like, what the fuck do you expect, man, to last 18 hours without a charge?
Mm-hmm.
You're playing fucking Elden Ring on a portable device. Get your head out of your ass, Mike Patton. All right, buddy. Do you think we hit everything?
I think so.
All right. Well, happy 150th and fucking episode, buddy.
Kaboom. I'm glad we didn't record, you know, for naught.
Oh, there, my God. Bro, if I loaded that file up and saw that it was like 20 minutes, I would have looked at you and said, Steve, we're about to do 10 minutes on how the episode fucking got fucked up in recording, and we're posting that bitch because I ain't re-recording. I did my taxes before this. I need to go relax and have a twisted tea and a recreational gummy, my dude.
That's right.
I also got Yankee stuff to get up to.
Yeah. Speaking of.
We're going to go do that. You guys should leave us a review if they haven't already, please, for the love of God. Also, something you should do is go to myweirdfoot.com for all your high potion needs. Sean put a lot of fucking work into that website for you weirdos not to at least go and check it out, you know?
Yeah, it's so cool. The song gets stuck in my head.
And, you know, it's got all kind of links to our social medias. You can come hang out with us on stream and hear Steve take a bad healer to task, bro. We'll talk about that some more later.
Talk about that another time.
Anyways, we'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Oh, good stuff. Man, I think this Mac is about to die. So right. let me shut her down. Just text me when you're ready to hit Discord.
All right, will do, buddy.
Cool, man.
Bye.
See ya.